In this episode, I talk about how to keep track of all the things we need to keep track of when we're doing stuff with our horses. Like, how do we know if it's us that needs to change or our horse? So here we go, episode 231, You or the Horse. Hi, I'm Karen Rolfe, and welcome to Horse Training in Harmony. This podcast is about you making progress with your horse in a way that you both can love. It's about learning how to move and be in harmony. Because yes, you really can develop a horse to be both athletic and happy. When we show up as our best selves for our horses will show up for us. So, let's get started. I just sat down at my desk to do this podcast, and I kind of just sat down and got the program open and obviously hit record. And then I just realized I'm actually a little bit distracted because there's these beautiful colored markers laying all over my desk and this beautiful, well, I think it's beautiful, colored doodles on this paper because I've actually in this program with Jane Pike called Creating Wild, and it is for anybody who's interested in, as she says, exploring the wild ecology of creativity. And whether you're naturally creative or you just like want to play in that space. Anyway, so we just had this like epic little co-creating session on Monday. Where I just broke out the colored markers and the cheap paper and doodled colorfully to my heart's content. And I usually am more of a black and white kind of doodler, pen and paper or pencil and paper. But I just dumped these colored markers all over my desk and went crazy. So I think I'm just going to take a second to just put those to the side so I can focus fully on what I'm doing right here. Anyway, so hello. So today I thought I'd talk about, this idea of like, there's so much to pay attention to with our horses and like, what do we pay attention to and how do we pay attention to it all? I mean, it's enough to pay attention, you know, to all the things we need to think about inside ourselves, mentally, emotionally, physically. And then there's the horse mentally, emotionally, and physically. And then we come together and it can be like, ah. And I think that's something a lot of people, well, everybody should be thinking about this. I mean, it's a challenge for everybody. And the people who are being successful at it have a way that they're doing it, even if they can't explain it. And I'm aware of what I'm doing. I'm at least aware of what I'm doing with my attention when I'm aware of what I'm doing with my attention. How about that? I know that if I'm not having, like, if I have a ride where I feel like, oh, I wasn't really focused, or I just felt scattered, or, you know, I get back to the barn and I'm like, well, 45 minutes just went by. What the heck did I do? You know, those kind of days are days when I know my attention has not been used well, that it's been distracted often on things that are wholly nothing to do with horses. But also, so they can be distracted by, you know, stuff at home or the news or, you know, Facebook or all those horrible things. But it can also be distracted by something with your horse. Like you could be distracted in your attention because you get fixated on one thing about your horse. Anybody who's had a horse who once like buck them off, it's really easy to have your brain just latch onto that. And the only thing it's thinking about is like, is it going to buck? Is it going to buck? Is it going to buck? Or whatever the thing is. It could be a particular movement, right? You're so concerned with getting a clean flying change that like you get fixated and then everything else goes out the window. So managing our attention is really important. And that's why I'm talking about it. Now, our attention matters all the time, but most of the time it'll become a big concern when something's not working, right? So when something isn't working, how do you know if it's you or the horse? Is it a problem where you just need to be consistent and like the horse needs to get its act together, or is it the other way around? And that's really a trick question because it's always both, often at the exact same time. Even if you're a perfect rider, if the horse is, whatever that means, if the horse is having trouble and you feel like, hey, I am about perfect right now, and the horse is having trouble, we could say, well, that's clearly that's a horse problem and my attention needs to be on the horse. But if the horse is having trouble, it means that you, the person, haven't yet found the way to help the horse do it, or haven't yet found the reason why he can't do it or he's not doing it. Now, there are also times when you as the rider, person on the ground, to all, you know, either way, but when you are well within good enough, and it really would be fair, reasonable, and possible for the horse to do what you're asking, and you just need to be more clear, more consistent, maybe more persistent. And it really is the horse who needs to change. And then, of course, other times, you know, the horse is really trying to understand or do the things that you've asked, and you are the one that's being confusing or confused, uncoordinated, or even conflicting. And it really is you that needs to change. And we could also bring up the point that, like, no matter how good enough we are and how good enough the horse is, there's always something to improve. There's always one other little piece that could become even better. And you know that if you rode the exact same ride and went to 10, you know, if 10 different instructors saw you, they would probably all point out different things that you could or should be paying attention to. So it never ends. And this is why I think it's really important to be aware of our attention and aware of what we're doing with it. So how do we know? Like, how do we navigate this problem of something's not working and what do we need to be focusing on? I mean, it really does seem like a paradox because we have to be good enough, but sometimes we can't be good enough unless the horse is cooperating and making it easier for us, right? And the horse has to be good enough, but sometimes he can't be good enough unless we are making it easier for him. And this is why I always see it as a team effort. I do what I call bouncing my attention. I will bounce my attention from me to the horse, to me to the horse, constantly, always back and forth and back and forth. I'm always asking the questions, am I good enough for the horse to do better? And is the horse good enough for me to do better? How can I help the horse? How can the horse help me? It's a team effort. Now, you can think of obvious situations and scenarios where there might be, you know, a real big mismatch. It's difficult sometimes to ride well when you're training. That's an art form in itself, to ride well doing things the horse doesn't do well yet. And to be able to still be consistent and coordinated, that's what a really good trainer can do. You know, like some people can ride well-trained horses, and that's their expertise. And some people can ride really well on untrained horses, and that's a different set of expertise, right? But can we be able to keep, like, for example, a steady tempo and balance as a rider on a horse that's erratic and distracted and unbalanced, you know, but we need to be that good for him to start to follow our lead, right? So that makes sense. Like, is it you? Is it the horse? Well, if the horse is all over the place and we're all over the place, like, that's, then it's both. It's both of you. You're both the problem. So we need to be able to keep a steady tempo and balance and show the horse what they need to do. And the flip side of that coin is like the example of the perfect schoolmaster, right? So the schoolmasters are those horses that can do that. They can stay steady and coordinated and consistent, even with a rider who's erratic and clumsy when they're learning. Now, it's always easier if one of the two, either the horse or the rider, knows what they're doing. I mean, that's pretty obvious, right? But so many people, and many of you listening, aren't in that situation. You know, not all of you are really artful, well-trained trainers on horses that you're bringing along. And not all of you are people who are like trying to learn, but you have this perfect schoolmaster. Most of us out there, and I'll include myself because that's how I learn, are kind of trying to work it out together. We're learning things as we go along with our horses. You know, we could say the blind leading the blind, but, you know, maybe it's like the bumbling with the bumbling. And I mean, it can work, right? It can work if you're just mindful about it. That's how I learned with my first horses, and unbelievably, it worked. So there's this big picture way of bouncing attention by looking at it from a larger context. So bounce your attention to the horse. Like, what's the state of your horse? What state is he in general? What state is he in today? What's he likely to offer you? What's he capable of? Is something we're going to go wrong on this particular horse? What might it be? What might that look like with this particular horse? And what does this horse need the most help with? All right, so I'm going to bounce my attention over there and just like take stock. Like, what's the state of that horse? Is he a schoolmaster or is this his first ride? And there's a big range in between. And then bounce the attention to yourself. What state are you in? What are you likely to offer the horse? What are you capable of? If something were to go wrong with you, what might that be? What do you need the most help with? And then you can compare and kind of figure out a prognosis for you on this horse, on this day, in this moment. You know, how, if you bounce your attention back and forth and then put all that information together, how does it kind of shake out? Is it going to be a chance of success? Does one of you maybe need to improve something before coming together? Or maybe you don't ever need to be together? Or at least you'll realize what you're getting into that day. And then you could, so that's sort of the big picture bouncing your attention. And that's good to do, well, especially if it's a new horse and rider coming together, right? It's like, okay, I don't know the horse, I don't know the rider, like, or this horse and this rider have never come together before. That's what I would be doing. I'm bouncing my attention. Let's take stock of the horse. Let's take stock of the rider, see what the Venn diagram is going to show. And then you can make a more informed, mindful decision. Now, you can also do this with like you and your horse that you know really well, and you can use this for choosing particular exercises to do or particular adventures to go on or particular situations to be in with your horse. You bounce your attention from you to the horse. How are you in those sorts of situations? How is your horse in this sort of situation? Right? You can kind of go back and forth of that and not just think about, this horse is great in those kind of situations. But if you don't bounce your attention enough to you, you might go, oh, but I had a traumatic event there and that might not be a good mix, or whatever the case might be, your state of balance with whatever it is you're going to go do. And you can use this bouncing attention. It can become very, very refined. So that what I've said so far is probably super obvious. You go, yeah, pay attention to you and the rider and the horse. But you can do this really down to refining in every single moment as you're working on very particular, precise stuff. So it can work, for example, you're trying to improve your sitting trot, something we're all, that's a lifelong quest that I think could apply to just about everybody. Except for riders who don't have to sit the trot, then you can just avoid the whole thing. But for those of you who want to improve your trot, this is a big subject. And this is where this bouncing your attention can come in super, super helpful. So you first bounce your attention to the horse. Is the trot that he's doing something that you would like to sit or that is sittable? A lot of times people skip that step. You know, they'll be on this big bounding warm blood on a loose rein, kind of let them be all free, and now you're trying to work on your sitting trot. I'd be like, well, I don't know if that's a trot that's worth sitting or fair to try to sit, or at least you're making it a lot harder on yourself. And if it's hard on yourself, it's going to be hard on the horse because you're not going to sit well. So you bounce your attention to your horse. Is the trot he's doing something you'd like to sit? And then immediately bounce your attention to yourself. Are you, whatever it is, releasing your thighs and letting your legs down, or whatever it is, the reminder for yourself? You know, bounce to your horse. If you're on a circle, like, could he be more balanced? Could you create a little more alignment on the circle? Then maybe he'll be easier to sit. So bounce your attention to the horse. Is he aligned on the circle? And then bounce it to yourself. Are you monitoring your rein length? Are you like grabbing one rein more than the other? Can you adjust something there? And then bounce it back to your horse. Is he still aligned on the circle? And then bounce it back to yourself. Are you keeping track of your reins? Bounce it back to yours. Is that tempo staying the same, or does he need a reminder about that? Bounce it back to yourself. Have you released your thighs? So if you have the situation where, let's say, you know, your horse is not quite as through and round and aligned as you'd like, and you're not sitting as well as you'd like, so someone could walk up, look at you guys doing your trot sitting, and go, you know, that's not as harmonious as it could be, but where do we put the blame? Like, how do we know? It's both. It's always both of you at the same time. Even, like I said, if it's a perfect, most experienced Grand Prix rider in the world, and they're sitting a horse and the sitting trot looks jarring, you can't say, well, that's just the horse's fault. That's a bad horse. He's not through in his back. Well, that's still the rider's fault. Well, why is the rider not gotten him through yet? And if he's not through yet, why is he sitting him? You know, so it's always, always a team effort. And I would say, beware of if you're just focused on one or the other, right? Again, like it's not just that you need more time on the lunge line. Like, maybe we need to adjust that your horse isn't zigging and zagging all over the arena, because that makes it hard to sit. And I always feel like I want the horse like in a good enough state that I could sit. And then I promise that I'm going to sit in a good enough state that I'll actually help you be more consistent. And then when you're more consistent, I get to sit better. And as I sit better, you get to be more consistent. And then you get in this upward spiral where everything starts to help everything. But a lot of times in the beginning, we can't have it all. So just do one thing at a time. In practical terms, I recommend just choosing one or maybe two things to pay attention to with your horse, and one maybe two things to pay attention to for yourself. When you get great at it, you can bounce your attention all over the place, like you have like really fancy antenna. What you don't want to do is try to think about everything all at the same time. That's when people get grippy and tense and stiff and probably frustrated or panicked. And it's when horses get overwhelmed or they zone out. Pay attention to one thing, then let it go. Maybe you make an adjustment, or maybe just notice that it's okay. Either way, pay attention, then let it go. Hey, I just wanted to take a quick second to let you know that this podcast is brought to you by the Dressage Naturally Video Classroom. Yeah, that's my program. So if you love this podcast, you will really love the Video Classroom. It's where you can see me coaching students, narrating my rides on horses, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and so much more. So let's see all these words put into action. Check it out with a 1-week free trial, and then it's just $29 a month after that. So even if you only watch one video a month, it is totally worth it. And we add new content every month. So what are you waiting for? Go to dressagenaturally.net/classroom. Okay, now let's get back to the pod. And it's that letting go piece that I think is one of the most important pieces. I mean, it's all important. But when I help people do this and find this connection with their horse, I have them say the things that they're paying attention to like a mantra. And we do this just with our within their own position. It's like, all right, pick two body parts that you want to play with and bounce your attention from one to the other. Don't try to hold it together. Check on your rein length. All right, adjust if you need to, let it go. Now think about your horse's tempo. Check it, adjust if you need to, and let it go. Drop your attention and put your attention somewhere else. Holding on will always end up holding you back. And it's that flexibility without getting like locked in. And that's the precision and play piece, right? We want to be precise, but don't like try so hard. Just practice letting go. It's always in the letting go. That's what horses like you to do. It just works. You can always come back again. And by letting go, I don't mean that you just like throw it all away. Just bring your attention there. Do what you need to do and then let go again. Now, the reality is that sometimes you're going to be trying this and you really can't let go of it, right? Like you, every time you don't think about this one thing, your horse is like, phew, I'm off, right? And you're like, okay, I have to like, it ends up you're locked in and you feel like there's no, this is wrong. Karen's bouncing attention thing doesn't work because every time I take my attention off of it, it's off and it really falls apart and then everything unzips. So if that's happening, it probably means that you need to stop and find a different exercise to do, right? Where you either need to find an exercise where you don't need that whatever quality it is that you're thinking about, like don't do sitting trot anymore, or you need to find a different exercise that breaks it down into a smaller piece, a slightly easier, well, or more than slightly easier version of the same essence of that exercise. If you want to still try to make progress on it, like if you're struggling with the sitting trot, well, check your position at the walk. Or if your horse is like, you can't take your attention off the tempo because he takes off, well, then maybe we need a more foundational piece, right? So that not feeling comfortable to drop your attention off of something for a moment is a little bit of a red flag, right? That you want to be able to go check the tempo. Okay. Oh, let me release my thighs. Okay. Check the tempo. And if you feel like you can't do that, if you feel like you have to hold the tempo while you release your thighs, but then guess what? You're not going to be able to release your thighs because you're still holding on to the tempo, which means your horse is trying to rush, which is going to cause other problems, right? So part of the beauty of this exercise is that if you can't do it, it lets you know, and then you know you need to make it easier. You want to find the circumstance where you feel like you can bounce your attention here, let it go. Bounce your attention to over there, adjust if necessary, let it go. And don't get hung up on the word bounce. I know in the horse world, like bouncing is not something we usually want to do. Like you just were talking about sitting trot. Like we don't want bounce. And I don't want it to feel like jarring and surprising and like, like someone just bounced a rubber ball off of you. But I don't know. I like the word bounce because it feels a little playful and that works in my brain. And I kind of feel like I take my attention, I put it somewhere and then I drop it into this area. I drop my attention into the horse's tempo and then I take my attention and it lobs up in the air and then it lands somewhere else and it bounces to my own body or my own state of mind or my breathing or whatever, you know, the list is endless, whatever it is. But if bouncing sounds too, repelling to you, like you could use a different word. You could use a word like let it flow over to there. Or maybe you could just use the word switch. Like I'm going to switch my attention from here to there. Or I'm going to flow my attention from my horse to myself. I don't care what word you use. Make one that works for you. Just make it something clear and not related to wandering or drifting, right? So let's see, I'm going to think about my horse's tempo and then I'm going to let my attention wander around and eventually it'll get back to my legs. And then after I do some stuff with my legs, I'm going to let my attention wander around and then Oh, maybe a little. Oh, yeah. The horse's tempo. Right. So pick a word that feels like it goes somewhere. It goes from here and then it ends up over there. Now, when you're in the zone, I mean, there is this other space where, you know, the people call it in the zone. I don't know, whatever you want to call it, where sort of your focus gets a little softer and more open, and it can feel like you're able to pay attention to everything. Like you see nothing specific, but in that you see everything. But that doesn't come. Oh, there's a helicopter in the outside. I wonder if you guys can hear that. Well, anyway, there's a helicopter. Anyway, back to my attention just wandered. How about it bounced over to the helicopter? Anyway, being in that zone where you're in that soft, open focus, where you don't have a hard attention on any one thing, but in that you feel and are sort of noticing and aware of everything, that I don't think that comes from trying to pay attention to everything all at once. It comes from dropping into the moment, and it comes from letting go and then noticing that you have now this greater awareness of more things. And so I really, in my experience, practicing this bouncing from me to my horse, to this thing, to that thing, it's those spaces in between where we've let go of this and we're on our way to this other thing. And that's the moment where you might just sort of suspend, and then without having to consciously bounce your attention, it just, you become in the space where you're noticing. And that's the ultimate thing. So when you have those moments, enjoy them. Don't celebrate too hard because it might take you out of it. With myself, I have a tell, and what I notice is like my jaw relaxes. And so sometimes my mouth will be open. I'm like, and I'll have to sometimes think, oh, my mouth's open. Yeah, I am, like, I'm in the zone right now. So it's kind of interesting. You might notice different things, and I'll notice my eyes start like lifting and being able to look all over the place. Right. So when I'm not doing that, my eyes are down and I'm like focused on my horse's neck. Not that I'm necessarily paying attention to his neck, but that's just kind of where the human head goes when it's thinking, right? That's the pose of contemplation. And so when I start to be in the zone, I'll notice that my eyes can look around and my jaw relaxes. And that's sort of a symptom. I can't create it by looking around and dropping my jaw, unfortunately, but I can create it by practicing paying attention to one thing, letting it go, paying attention to another thing, letting it go, and having that eye on the prize, like knowing what I'm trying to create from it and paying attention to if it's becoming too difficult, make it easier. Yeah. So notice what happens and then go with it if it's working, and if it's not, make it easier. I hope that helps. Have fun with it. If this episode resonates with you, make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. Training horses is a long game. The more you listen, the more pieces of the puzzle you'll have. To see all your learning resources, visit dressagenaturally.net. That's where you'll find free videos, online courses, my book. You can sign up for my Wednesday Wisdom email or even book a private consult. Most of all, remember, you got this. Never underestimate the possibility for things to improve in ways you cannot yet imagine. Till next time, love your horse, move in harmony, and enjoy the process.